Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Tzadik Aleph, and we're starting on Tzadik Omid Beis, and we're going to start from six lines from the bottom. Ubemase Yodeha. Again, we're going back to the first mission of our parak, where we talked about a young lady whose husband went to Medina Sayyam. She received word that the husband had died. 1/8 came back and said the husband died. What did she do from that point on? She now married a second husband, only to find out shortly thereafter that the first husband comes back alive and kicking, saying, "I'm here." What happens? So the Mishnah says she has on her a whole bunch of knosos, a whole bunch of punitive measures, including that, for instance, teitzi mizeh umizeh, she cannot return to her first husband or to her so-called second husband, and she needs a get from both of them, and she doesn't get her ksuba and the peiris and the mezoinis and the balois, etc., etc. Another thing that we said in the Mishnah is that v'loy zeh v'zeh zakoyin loy mitziyasa v'loy b'mas yodeha v'loy b'aforis nedereh, that neither husband, the real husband, nor this second pseudo husband, she thought it was husband, they don't get her masi yodai. Don't you matter why? Tamamai amr rabbanim masi yodai labala. What's the reason why she has to go and cough up her income to her husband in normal situations, a normal marriage? Mishum nikoachu mezaini. It's just a quid pro quo. Since he is supplying to her mezainis, it's only right that she should go and give her income to him. V'hoch, in our Mishnah we said that she gets a knas, v'ein lo laksuba, v'loi peirois, v'loi mezainois, she doesn't get mezainis from her husband. No, hoch, kim the mezainis, lesla, mas yedea, lav didei. So, since it's the same quid pro quo, if she's not getting mezainis from either husband, then she doesn't give her mas yedaim to either husband. It's only fair. And that's why it says in the Mishnah that lo yzeh v'zeh, neither of them get mas yedea. And v'loy mefer nedareh, the two husbands cannot be made for her nedarim, to annul her vows. Why not? Time in my Amar Rachman about mefer. What's the reason why the Torah allows a husband to go and annul the vows of the wife? Kedesh leitziskana, so that she should not go and be repugnant to her husband. How would she be repugnant to her husband? Look at the final Rashi on the bottom line. Kedesh leitziskana balik yigoy nidre inu nefesh shloy erchatz shloy eskashet. What happens if the wife says, "There's a water shortage. I don't want to go and use the waters anymore to bathe. Instead of bathing once a day, I'll take a bath once a month. Shaloi iskashet. I'm not going to go and put on any perfumes or any jewelry. I'm not going to make myself look presentable to my husband.
To adorn myself.
So the Torah says the husband has a right to annul that vow and say, "You better bathe. You better adorn yourself. You're my wife." So he has that right to annul. And that's in a regular case. Kadesh loy tiskana. She should not be repulsive and repugnant. Hacha, here tiskana v'tiskana. Halavai, she should be as repulsive as possible. So the husband should get rid of her as quickly as possible. Since our Mishnah says, teitze mizeh u'mizeh, this will incentivize the husband to get rid of her and mekayim the loch of the Mishnah of teitze mizeh u'mizeh.
Where are you up to? Where are you holding now?
We are now holding the final line of Tzadik Amud Beis. We are approaching very quickly the first line of Tzadik Aleph Amud Aleph. So Tzadik Amud Beis, the final line, the Gemara is quoting for the Mishnah, that among the knosos, the various penalties that the young lady has to incur because of the fact that she married on the basis of 1/8 and did not do her full due diligence, Hotzei Bas Yisrael nifsala min hakahuna. If she was a Bas Yisrael and she wants to marry a Kohen subsequently, she will never be able to go marry a Kohen. Frank the Gemara at the top of the Yomit, Pshita, of course she won't be able to marry a Kohen. She's a Zoinahi. Zoina means, of course, literally a prostitute. We don't mean that she's a professional prostitute, but we mean to say that, unfortunately, she was Mizana. She was married to husband A. It's true that she relied on 1/8 that said husband A died, but she should have done her due diligence. It called up all the detective agencies. And obviously she didn't do a good job because her husband came back alive. So she's a zoina, even though it was taka b'shogeg ba'ones, but she was mezana, she lived with somebody else. And a zoina, of course, isha zoina b'chalolo lo yikachu. The Torah says you're not allowed to marry a zoina. So zoch pshita. Says Imor, you're right. If it was just that halacha, I wouldn't bother even mentioning it. But the Mishnah continues on that if she was not a Bas Yisrael, she was a Bas Levi, she gets disqualified from eating Meiser et Strichale. And that's why I brought in that first halacha to say the halacha Bas Levi mina Meiser. Tosis immediately points out that l'choyre, this is a bissel shver, because there is no halacha that a zoyna is possible mina Meiser. Even if a zoyna would cause her to be a zora, anybody and everybody in Klal Yisrael is allowed to eat from Meiser Rishon. This is not something which is strictly limited to a Levi or to a Bas Levi. But you remember that at the beginning of our perek and the previous perek, we said that we find restrictions on Meiser Rishon. It's possibly going according to Reb Meir that says that just like only a Kohen can go and eat Tuma, only a Levi can go and eat Men HaMeiser. And so therefore, Tosis, the first Tosis says, L'choyra Gemara is going according to Rameh. Anyway, Zok Timara, I need the halacha Bas Levi Mena Meisim. That what? To tell you that Bas Levi, because she married this second husband, and it turned out that this was wrong, she loses Meisim. Zok Timara, Bas Levi Mena Meisim, Minifsel of Biznus. Are you telling me that because she was a mezana, she loses her right to eat Meiser? But then will end up a braisa. Levia shenishbis. If you have a bas levi that was captured by goyim, and I'm afraid that maybe one of the goyim lived with her, and oy shenivla beilaznus, or if I know for sure that she lived with a goy, or for that matter, she was nival beilaznus even with a yid. No, he's still not Meiser by chalit. She goes receive Meiser and she can go and eat it. No. So our case is a nivala b'ilaznus. So in that braisa it says she can eat Meiser. And you're telling me our Mishnah says she cannot eat Meiser. What's going on? Omrav Sheishis Kenosa. Once again, it's part of the package of all the kenosas that we put on this lady because we want to incentivize her to do her due diligence. Obviously, she didn't do enough due diligence because her original husband came back. So even though in a normal situation, she can go and eat Meiser. Here, we throw the books at her and she cannot eat Meiser. The next halacha of the Mishnah is if she was a bas koyin, she cannot go and eat truma. Zokti mara filu betruma drabana. Why does the Gemara say afilu betruma drabana? So explains Rashi on the fourth line, betruma drabana. The ilu betruma diaraisa lo yitzrach lemisli, kiven de kunsu ha meiser kosh kenat truma. Marach that you're saying that a bas levi cannot eat meiser. Meiser, everybody knows, is certainly not as holy as truma, according to Meir. Yeah, it's the same, but it's certainly not stronger than truma. So if we're saying that in our Mishnah we take away the Meiser from the Bas Levi, and of course we take away the truma from the Bas Koyin, so the Gemara is coming to say the Chiddush had even truma drabanan, which is not minat Torah. So it's truma drabanan. Maybe not going to be so machmir. No, that's part of the knas package. She does not receive truma even drabanan. And then the Mishnah says the Yorshin Shalzeh, Yorshin Shalzeh, Yorshin Ksuvasah. Neither set of Yorshim, meaning the Yorshim of the first husband, the legitimate husband, and the Yorshim of the illegitimate husband, neither them Yarshin her Ksuba. Says Gemara, I don't understand what you're talking about.
Right.
Ksuba my avidita.
There's no Ksuba.
What's the problem? Because the Mishnah said very clearly on the second line, Oisha Shahaluk Bala Medina Siyam, and then Achkach Bo Baila, Taitzi Mizeh Umizeh, the Ain Lo Ksuba. She doesn't get a Ksuba.
Right.
Loi mizev, loi alzev, from neither one. So what are you going and telling me? The Yarshim don't go and Yarshim the Ksuba. There is no Ksuba to Yarshim. It's according to these words of Dvorim B'Taylor. Amra Papa, the Mishnah's come to tell you the din of Ksuba's Bonin Tichrin. What's Ksuba's Bonin Tichrin? So Ksuba's Bonin Tichrin is a very, very simple concept which is brought in Mesechtes Ksubas. What happens if a young lady wants to get married? Very often the potential husband, the chosin, is not only looking at her yira shemayim and how erlich and how wonderful and how pretty and how attractive, but also he looks sometimes for money. Have you ever heard of something like
Never.
That? Never. But that does happen.
Hypothetically.
You could have a hypothetical case where the husband wants some money. And the father of the girl knows that the best incentivizer is to go and offer some money. But the father says to himself, you know what might happen? Let's assume that my daughter, a wonderful young lady, is going to marry to this husband. I mean, they've got a very, very generous dowry. And what's going to happen subsequently? Please make room. That David is about to arrive on the scene. You can, if you want to come up to this side. David, please join us. We're delighted that you're here.
I'm terribly sorry.
It's okay. Mukhalach, mukhalach, mukhalach. We're on Tzadik Aleph, Omer Aleph, otherwise known as 91A. We're explaining the concept of Ktsubas Banan Dichrin. You have now a father of a woman, of a girl, who's giving a nice, generous dowry to the chosin, and the chosin and the kal are going to get married, and mitzvah, they're going to have children. Let's make life easy. Three boys. And then after that, the father says to himself, you know what might happen? My daughter's going to die, chas v'sholem. Then the husband is not going to have to pay out a ksuba. The husband, fakirat, is going to yarshin from her. And then what's going to happen after that? He's going to remarry and marry somebody else, another young lady. And they're also going to have three sons. They're going to be six sons here altogether. And eventually, the father's going to die. And he's going to leave over a nice estate for all six sons. Guess what? I, the father of the first girl, gave this huge, huge dowry. In the case of the second marriage, the husband married a poor girl, got virtually no dowry whatsoever. And now all six sons are going to go and inherit the entire estate, including my generous dowry. So the three kids from the other wife are going to split the estate in half and get 50%. And therefore, people will be reluctant to give dowries to their daughters, knowing it might fall into other families' hands. And so therefore, to incentivize fathers to give money to their daughters, we have Ktsubas Banan Dichrin. How does Ktsubas Banan Dichrin work? Same scenario again. The husband married the first wife, had three boys. The wife died. He married a second wife, had another three boys. And now the husband died, the six boys all together. The first three boys from the first wife, first they determine how much was the original dowry. They look at the ksuba, make the calculations. That portion of the estate is immediately carved out and given to the first boys of the first marriage. So they get the dowry of their grandfather, the one that gave the dowry originally to their mother. They get it all. By the way, the same happens for the second group of three of the second wife. They'll also get the dowry that was from their father or grandfather, which may have been pennies, but whatever it is, they get whatever's left over after you deduct the two ksuvas, bon and dichrin, whatever's left over, and then they'll divide it up, even Stephen, all six boys together. So what our mission is telling us is that not only is there no ksuba to speak of if the husband dies first, and normally he has to give a ksuba to his wife, or if he gives her a get, he has to give a ksuba. That ksuba is off the table, but even the ksuba's banan dichrin is off the table, so that her children will not get back the dowry that she brought into that original marriage. Pray Gemara Pshita. Isn't that a double poshit? What's the Gemara's kasha Pshita? Because this is just one of the additional clauses in your standard ksuba, and just like there's no ksuba, there are no standard clauses, there's nothing. Every ksuba, for instance, says that there's mezoinis and a peiris and balois and all that. All that you rip up, because if there's no big picture ksuba, then you don't have the details. So you don't have the ksuba's banan dichrin either. So isn't that pshita? So tomorrow, no. Maud is same of the isura konsura banan. She deserves to get a kenas on her head because, after all, she didn't do her due diligence and she married the second husband. Ablazali konsura banan. Her children, they didn't do anything wrong. They're innocent bystanders over here. Is it their fault that their mother went and married the second? They have even urged upon her, please, mommy, don't do that. We're going to lose our ksuvas banan dichrin. So I would think, when they made a kanas, even the children nebuch are affected by this kanas, that they do not get the ksuvas banan dichrin, but they're going to have to share their grandfather and their mother's dowry with children from other marriages, from other women. Again, we have the two husbands. What happens if eventually chas v'sholem, either the first husband or the second or both of them pass away and they leave brothers and they left no children? So this is din of Hibur Chalitza. So it says in our Mishnah, the Achav Shazeh, B'Achav Shazeh, both Yavams of both husbands only do Chalitza, they don't do Yibam. Explains the Gemara, very, very straightforward. The truth of the matter is that the first marriage was totally legit, and so therefore the Yavim has a duty, min ha-toyra, to do Yibam or Chalitza, but because of the Knas, we say, Yibam is off the table, only do Chalitza. So, Choylitz Midraisa, his duty to do Chalitza is min ha-toyra. He cannot do the Yibam Midrabanu, because that's one of the Knasos, one of the many ingredients in this large Knas on the young lady. On the other hand, the Ach of Shosheni, min ha-toyra, they're not married. You can't marry two husbands. If she's married to the first husband, she can't be married to the second husband. So that second marriage was meaningless. And therefore, there's no din of v'chalitza or yibam. If that husband dies, he dies. And, you know, bury him and say a couple of kapitels to him, and it's all over. But there's no din of yibam or chalitza because he was never married to her. But nevertheless, choydes midrabanan, the rabbanan require a chalitza. Feloy miyabim, by midraisal, midrabanan. The Chum did not institute a din of Yibam, they only instituted a din of Chalitza. Why did they institute a din of Chalitza? So Rashi says this is similar to the Svara that we've had before in the Gemara. Gzeirish Shema Yoimru, Girish Zeh, Venosa Zeh. And now all of a sudden she leaves without a Chalitza, without a Yibam, and people say, oh, you see, Chalitza and Yibam, that's so important. After all, we saw that this lady was married to the first husband. We saw she got married to the second husband. People don't know that it was based on 1A testifying that the first husband was dead. They assume that that first husband gave her a get. And what do divorced women do? They try to remarry. And she remarried. And now that the first husband came back, we'll say, okay. So the first husband came back. Medina Sayyam, he had been away on a business trip, he's back. But they don't know that she was not legitimately married to the second. They think she was married to the second. And now if you're going to say, okay, just leave, and if Chas V'Shalom, that second husband passes away, no Chalitza, no Yibam, and what's going on over here? I never heard of something like that. Apparently there's a newfangled notion, the rabbis must be matir, no Yibam, no Chalitza. So therefore we require Chalitza Midrabah. Okay, and now we get to Rabbi Yossi. Now to understand the next Gemara, which is pretty straightforward, we have to, I would suggest, bending the Gemara over and go back to Pei Zayin Amid Beis, because we're going to have to refer back to it numerous times over the next 20 lines. If you go Pei Zayin Amid Beis, after we had the lengthy Tanakama, then we had three Tanoim that disagreed with the Tanakama. Don't bend it over too much, because it's unfair to the owners of the Shas. See, about seven lines into the Mishnah, it says, Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Ksubos Al Nichsi Baal Horishon. No. Rabbi Yossi disagrees with Tanakama. There is a ksuba on the first husband because that's a legitimate husband. Rabbi Loza Oimer, Harishin Zaki Matzor Mitziyosim Las Yedem Aforis Nedarim. The Tanakama says they lose that right to the Mitziyah Mas Yedayim Aforis Nedarim. Says Rabbi Loza, no. The Rishon retains those three rights. Rabbi Shimon Oimer, Bi Oso Echalitzosim Mi Ochav Shal Rishon Poiteris Tzirosa Vein Avlad Mi Menu Mamzer. This goes back to the Gemara which we just learned now. Although the Tanakhama said that even vis-a-vis the first husband, only Chalitza and not Yibum, says Rav Shimon, no. The first marriage was totally legit. And so therefore, the Yavim can do either Yibum or Chalitza. It's perfect. If Poiteris Tzarasif, then Itzaris, they are all now free from Yibum because their co-wife, the Tzara, received the Yibum Chalitza, and the Vlad is not a Mamzer. Everything is great. So we have now Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Loza, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yossi says there is a Ksuba. Rabbi Loza says there is Metziah Mas Yedayim and Afaras Adarim. And Rabbi Shimon says you can make Yibum. Now the question is, what does each one of the three hold vis-a-vis the other opinions of those three?
I mean, before you go on there, the continuation of the mission of Im Yisei Shalom Rishut Mutreb Ha'zubo, whose statement is that?
On the surface, it would appear to be a unanimous statement, but we'll see Mitchum in the next Gemara, in another 10 minutes or so, that's a continuation of Reb Shimon's statement.
Okay? Can you just expand on Shimon a little bit? What's Reb Shimon saying that since the first marriage...
The first husband went away, he came back.
And now when he does die...
He died a day later, a year later, 5 years later.
He has cardiac arrest when he comes back and finds out his wife
exactly.
Married.
Exactly. What happens now?
Okay, so...
And there's a Yavam.
Okay, so...
What does the Yavam do?
He does Bia, the Bia of the child from that Bia will not be a Mamzer. That's Rav Shimon's argument?
The Inablad Mimena Mamzer is referring to
The second half. First half is...
No, that's what I'm asking. The Ein of Lad Mimena.
Can you do me a favor? Let's not talk about Ein of Lad Mimena Mamzer, because the Gemara only focuses on the Biyosah Chad Mitzosah. Let's not get sidetracked.
Okay.
What the Machlokes between Reb Shimon is and the Tanakama. Tanakama said that you can only Choltz in V'loy Miyabmin, right before Reb Yoisi.
Right, yes.
The Mesu Echav Shalzeh, Echav Shalzeh, Choltz V'loy Miyabmin, says Reb Shimon, vis-a-vis the first one, you can even do Yibam. Yibam or Chalitza works.
Okay.
Good. Getting now to the Gemara, keep on holding this at very, very intact. Om Rav Huna, Basroi Moida the Kamoi. Basroi means of the three, the latter two agree with the first. Kamoi le Moida Basroi, but the first one doesn't agree with the latter two. And it's not just the latter two agree with the first. Three agrees with two, two agrees with one. But one doesn't agree with two, and one and two do not agree with three. When I say one, two, and three, I'm referring to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Loza, and Rabbi Shimon. And the Gemara goes through each one. Rabbi Shimon waited later, Rabbi Loza. Rabbi Shimon was the last one on the list. He said that the first husband that passed away, the Yavim could do Bi'or Chalitza. 31. After all, the Iker Issa was that there was an illegal Bia with the second husband. So you would think the first thing the Kanasa would attack would be any potential Bias that normally would be Mutter. I would say, no, you were bad, you were evil, and therefore take away any Heter Dika Bias. Nevertheless, Reb Loza said, no. She can have a beer with the yavam, no problem. So madach the ma beer the ikri sur loy kanis is kol shkein netzios umas yeder. The mamoinahu the cases of the previous man the Reb Elazar about metzi mas yedaim. That's all in yoni mamonis. Then for sure he's not going to be kindness because that's already a step removed from her isur, which we are attempting to punish. Reb Elazar leimoyde le Reb Shimon. Reb Elazar does not agree with Reb Shimon. Reb Elazar being number two does not agree with Reb Shimon because mitzios by mas yedaim the mamoinahu like kanis. There the taka did not kanis, and that's why he says rishon zakoi they can continue having metzi mas yedaim no kedem. Aba bia disura who kanis. I would hold that Yevacham did kanis because after all, how do we get stuck in the middle of this whole scenario is because of the fact that she did a Bia Asura. So then we have to go and kindness anything related to Bia. And therefore, I respectfully disagree with you, says Reb Loza to Reb Shimon. Utravayu, and both Reb Loza and Reb Shimon, Moidele Reb Yossi, they agree with Reb Yossi. What did Reb Yossi say about the Ksuba on the Nechse Bala Harishai? Why? Because Hani Diyasvatu say, Loi kindness. Madach, those things which Yasvatu say, which lend themselves to perpetuating the marriage, meaning the Metzia and the Masi Yadayim, which are normal for regular husbands and wives, that the husband gets the Metzia and the Masi Yadayim. What is Reb Lozer and Reb Shimon both agree? That we don't take away the Metzia and Masi Yadayim. So out of those things which he asked for to say, which would tend to promote and perpetuate this marriage, there's no Knas. Is Koshkin Ksuba de la Mishka Lomefikoi? Certainly on the Ksuba they're not going to give a Knas, because the whole Indian of a Ksuba is say goodbye. Young lady is leaving. They're now parting ways. So certainly not, they're not going to kokanis, because that certainly doesn't lend itself to perpetuating marriages. Ksuba is a medium to arrange for the cessation, the end of this marriage. Reb Yossi le'moyde luhu, and Reb Yossi does not agree to Reb Loza v'Reb Shimon, because he says Ksuba de la Mishka le'meifik. Who'd like kanis? The reason why I taka say there's no kanas is because let her get a ksuba and sayonara and get out of here. Avulhani diyasa to say things like mitzi and masi yadayim, which help to perpetuate a normal marriage, and perhaps will perpetuate the marriage here too, because the husband says, oh, I'm getting my mitzi, I'm getting masi yadayim, no, I'm getting some nice income over here, then kanis, that I do kanis. I don't want to do anything to incentivize them to stay together as husband and wife. So that's what Rav Huna. Rav Yochanan says just the opposite. Rav Yochanan Omar, Kamoi Moidle Basroi, the initial one, for instance, Rav Yossi agrees to Reb Lozer Reb Shimon. Reb Lozer agrees to Reb Shimon, but the Kamoi Moidle Basroi, Basroi Le Moidle Kamoi. So we're doing the exact opposite of what we just said a moment ago. And we start again. Rav Yossi Moidle Le Reb Lozer. Ksuba de medide letidol lekarnis. Madach, when you're talking about something like a ksuba, which is a benefit for her, it's not a benefit for the husband. The husband is losing money, he has to pay a ksuba. Madach, we're not punishing her and we're allowing her to go and collect the ksuba, certainly in that case we're not going to go and kansa, because in that case it's midida koshke mitziyasa mas yedeh midot lididei, where it goes from her to him. So again, Rabbi Yosi made a little blot. The ksuba the midei lididah loikadus. Rabbi Yosi agrees to the blot. What did the blot say? The ksubas al nichsi baal horisha. He says, I agree. So mada, Rabbi Yosi made a little blot. The ksuba the midei lididah loikadus. That Rabbi Yosi is agreeing to Rabbi Lazar. Marach Rabbi Yosi himself holds that he doesn't put a knas on the ksuba, even though it's going in her direction. It's koshke mitzios masideh the medidol ledidei. He is not going to kansa, but he's going to allow it to go from her to him, because that's going to inflict on her a certain amount of financial pain. So Marach, he doesn't put a knas on income coming her way, and he says, yeah, let her get the ksuba, it's fine, I don't mind. Then certainly he's not going to mind having it go in the other direction, her income, her mitzia to him, because that is something that benefits him against her. So certainly he's not going to cut that in the middle and say, no, don't allow for it. It's Kolchkin, and certainly in that case, he would go and say, let the mitzia mas yadayim go from her to him. Reb Loza disagrees with Reb Yosi. Mitziyasu mas yadayim. Who? The medidah ledidei loikanes. In the case of metziah mas yadayim, which goes from her to him, there he did not kans. In other words, let the baal get the metziah, let the baal get the mas yadayim. He didn't stop that normal procedure that you have in all weddings. Avol ksuba, the medidah ledidah, that the money is going in her direction, kanes, no, stop it. I don't want this train to go. I don't want her to go and get the ksuba. So therefore, Reb Lazar would not agree with Reb Yosi. But Rabbi Moed and Reb Shimon, they both agreed to Reb Shimon. What did Reb Shimon say? That biyasa chalitzasa you can do yibam. But mahani de mechaim lekansi. Madach, we are not being koines the ksuba or the mitzia and mas yadayim, all of which apply when they're both alive. And okay, it's all right. No kenas. Be it l'achar misa, where the original marriage is certainly finally ended because the first husband never passed away. If lokoshke nevada, we're not going to go and put a kenas. There's no purpose of making a kenas. All purpose of kenas is to go and sever the relationship between the first husband and the wife. But if he's already dead, there's nothing to sever. It's already severed. So therefore, avada nevada, we're not going to be koinis, and we're going to allow for the bia and the yibam. Reb Shimon loy moideluhu. Reb Shimon disagrees. After the marriage ended because the husband died, there's no purpose of making a kenas anymore. This marriage is ended, finished. There I don't give a kenas, and therefore let the yavam be there. The yavam doesn't bother me. Avuhani demachayim, the other rights that you're talking about, whether it's ksuba or whether it's mas yadayim or the metziah, those are mechayim, and those are the normal parts.
Exchange.
I'm sorry?
The normal exchange between husband and wife.
Normal exchange between husband and wife. So I would think, well, maybe that he's not koinus. And therefore, I'm sorry, that he would be koinus, because I don't want that natural exchange between husband and wife, because I do not want to incentivize the perpetuation of this marriage. I want to sever it immediately. So then we have machlokes, therefore, between Avuna and Rabbi Yochanan, who agrees with whom and who disagrees with whom.
What are the things that you expressed here was that denying her kesuva is a incentive for, depending on how we're reading it, denying her kesuva urges her to leave or does not urge her to leave. If we pay her off, she'll leave. Or if we don't pay her off, she'll go because the husband has nothing to lose.
It's another smart.
I mean, which is it? Is denial of a ksuva, because we've read it both ways, is denial of a ksuva...
Depends who you ask. One man, the yom, will say, allowing for the ksuva, this will incentivize her to leave. She's had enough bizyoinus from this whole experience. Get my ksuba,
I'll move on, cash out,
and move away, and I'll try to find a new husband, a new state, I'll move to California and find somebody else. The other man, the yom, says, no, rather don't give her a ksuba, and then she say, I'm not going to stick around anymore, no ksuba.
Let's wait for it. Okay, exactly. Okay.
Now the next part of Reb Shimon is what you asked before about David. It says in the Mishnah, "Nisah shloi berishus muteris lachsulai." What does that mean? Until now, we spoke about an isha where there was only one aid that said that the husband passed away. But if there are two aidim that said the husband passed away, then muteris lachsulai, she's allowed to go and return to her original husband. Now we might have thought until now that this is unanimous, but our Gemara says this is Reb Shimon speaking. How do I know? Let's see the Gemara. Om Reb Huna Marav. Now loch is taka, like you just said now, that if it's one husband, one aid, then teitzim izeh umizeh. But if there were two aidim, she has the right to go back to the original husband. Says Reb Huna Marav, that's the loch. Omri Rav Nachman, Gnuva gan v'gnuvi lomulah. So Rav Nachman is saying to Rav Huna, or saying to Rav, whichever way you want to look at it, you're saying something which is almost like a gneiva. It's a theft. What does he mean? Isvira loch Reb Shimon, aim loch Reb Shimon, dishmata Reb Shimon kozla. It's a makloikis in the Mishnah. Reb Shimon holds like you just said now. So instead of saying hochi hilchasa, what means hochi hilchasa? Then this is shaloi berishus bezdin. But there were two eidim muteris lachsaloi. You should have said, look at our Mishnah, halach Reb Shimon, and finished. By saying this independently, this is shaloi berishus mutalachsaloi. It sounds as if you're stealing this halacha for yourself, as if you are creating it, inventing it on your own. This is Reb Shimon talking.
That's a very strong statement.
Obviously, it's a rhetorical statement. He's saying, go and say, Reb Shimon, instead of saying, by saying this Shloim B'Shus, like the Loshen of our Mishnah, sounds like they are taking this halacha for themselves.
Uncredited.
And without giving proper credit where credit is due to Reb Shimon. Maybe the reason why you didn't want to say Aloch Reb Shimon, because you were nervous that people will say that means the first part of Reb Shimon as well, the Gabi, the Din of the Yibam, or the Chalitza. I have an easy case. Just go and simply say we pass Reb Shimon, but only on the second part, not on the first part. Therefore, everybody will know we're only talking about the second part and not on the first part. Good kifrei. You have a good point. Omer Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes, when he heard this halacha b'shem Rav, he said, Amina, I thought, Kinaim b'shachab Rav, Omer Rav Shmaitze. When Rav was dozing off, he said this Shmaitze. What does it mean when he's dozing off? When he's saying halacha m'chlal depligi. It sounds like, by saying halacha, that others disagree with Rav Shimon. May have a little maybid. What should this young lady do? Me'enis onsa. She's really an oinis. What do we mean to say? It's one thing to go and say there's only one aid. Nope. She should be daiko mitzvah, do due diligence, and all the rest. But if the two aidim, al pishnai maidim yakum dover, a dover shib ervis, shnayim is always still. Good, and she listened to two aidim. What's wrong? Why shouldn't that be the halacha that she can return to her first husband? This is ein lecha oinis gadol mizeh, just like any woman who is Nebuch and Anusa, right? You have a married lady in Eishes Ish, a stranger comes from the street, Rachman al-Sani is Ma'anis, the young lady, unless you talk about an Eishes coin, which is what I'm not talking about here. Talk about Eishes Yisrael. If she's Nensa, she goes back to her husband. So she what could she have done? The reason why she married the second husband is because two Adam swore that the first husband died. So shouldn't everybody agree to this halacha, not just Reb Shimon? So that's why Reb Sheshes said, Rav must have been dozing. But wait, and I'll bring you another riot that the Rabbanan would also agree, not only Reb Shimon, that she can return back to original husband. I write from a Braisa. Says in the Braisa, any erva, eitzrich semenu get. If you have, for instance, a father marry a daughter, or a brother marry a sister, it's all baloney. That's not marriage. And therefore, they don't need a get, because it's meaningless, it's irrelevant, butch. Kutz, may Eishes Ish, Shenissus Al Pi Bezin. Except for the case of our Mishnah. You have an Eishes Ish that was married Al Pi Bezin, meaning that there was one aid, and therefore she remarried. What happens now after she remarries and the original husband comes back? Says in our Mishnah, Taitzim Mizeh Mizeh, and she needs a get from both. So now the Gemara is Medayik. It sounds like only because it was Al Pi Bezin, who did buy a get? Because it was one aid. Al Pi Eidim, that if it would be two Adam, loy by geta, she would not need a get. Okay, which is exactly what Rav was saying, or Rav Huna was saying in the name of Rav, that we paskin like Reb Shimon. She doesn't need a get from the second husband, and she can go back to the first husband. No problem. And the Gemara assumes that this Braisa is the Rabbanan. Who says maybe it's Reb Shimon? Mani. Elaim Reb Shimon, you're talking that Reb Shimon is speaking here in this Braisa. Al pi bezin, me buy a get? If the reason why she got married based on one aid, and now it turns out the husband comes back, says Reb Shimon required it to be a get from the second husband. What time Reb Shimon Oimer? Reb Shimon says, "Also bezdin b'hira asan, kizodin ish bi'isha." And al pi edim kishigas ish beisha. Reb Shimon says words which are a little bit vague and obscure, and the Gemara says initially, what does Reb Shimon mean? What he's saying is that if osa bezmayr osa, meaning that she got married based on one aid, it's kizodin ish beisha. It's like chas v'sholem, a man that comes and is ma'anis a young lady, and she agreed with it. In other words, both of them agreed with the maises nus. That's the case of one aid. And because both agreed, then teitzim mizeh mizeh. A husband cannot continue living with his wife if she was mizana on purpose, miritzoina. But if it's al pi edim, it's a two edim, so therefore it's a real shoygig, it's kishigas ish beisha. It's as if that from her standpoint, it's a total shoygig. It's not my fault. It's that man grabbed me and was ma'anes me. And then, of course, she could stay with her original husband. So notice that the brice of Reb Shimon is only distinguishing, can she stay with her husband? Can she not stay with her husband? But either by a get, l'choira, since he doesn't talk about get, in both cases, both the case of the eid echad and the case of the two eidim, she does not need a get from the second husband. Aha! So says the Gemara, if you're telling me that in this brisa, that first brisa, that there is a distinction between al pi bezin, that you need a get, al pi eidim, you don't need a get, they can't be Reb Shimon, because we were medayik from this new brisa that the Reb Shimon is only distinguishing, can she return home to original husband? Is she considered to be an anusa, or is she considered to be meritzoina hatoy? But the gabi get, in both cases, you don't need a get. So that brisa can't be Reb Shimon. Elav must be its rabbanim here. It's going according to rabbanim. And what did the rabbanim say? That if there's one aid, then you need a get, like we had in our Mishnah, teitzim izeh umizeh. But it's al pi bei edim, you don't need a get, and she can return to her first husband. Ah, so this halacha that when you have two edim, you can return to your first husband, that's that first brisa, which we're saying is not Reb Shimon, it's rabbanim. So we see that even the rabbanim agree with Reb Shimon. So why did Rav say halacha Reb Shimon? Isn't this kuli alma? Doesn't the rabbanim also agree? Everyone know la'olam Reb Shimon. That first brisa is Reb Shimon with Tritzachi, and explain the brisa differently, not like we learned until now, but rather Reb Shimon oyma also bezin kairo also behayro also ki kavonis ish beisha ubayiget. That if there is a 1/8 situation, the Chachamim said in such a case, when the woman remarries to a husband, it's as if a regular, normal ponui and penuya get married, a regular chosin kala, and if afterwards this marriage falls apart because the first husband comes back, you need a get. That's what he meant, kikavonis ish v'isha. When he said, al piedim, kishaloi bikavonis ish v'isha, what did he mean there? V'loi ba'i get, since they did not intend to get married. When he gives this marshal kishaloi kavanas ish v'isha, it means as if you have a boy and a girl living together without the benefit of marriage, just living together. Then why buy a get? Then you don't get. And that's what he meant. Oh, if that's the case, then this brisa in fact is Reb Shimon. That first brisa that distinguishes between al pi bezin and shloi al pi bezin, your get nishket. That's Reb Shimon speaking. So if it's Reb Shimon speaking, the kasha that you asked, that even the rabbanon agree, falls away. And I don't find that the rabbanon agree with Reb Shimon. You don't have to talk about kavanas ish v'isha, a boy and girl getting married. No. Let's go back to the original. In Yisur, Tachi Kama. Also, bezin b'yira also kizodin ish v'isha u'mitzra al bala. What means a mitzra al bala? She's not allowed to go and marry or go back to her first husband, and she needs a get under those circumstances, because this is considered to be a violation of the original marriage. She's also to return to the first husband, and she has to have a get from the second husband. But if I'll be Aiden, this kishigas ish v'isha, v'loi mitzra bala, she doesn't have a problem of, she doesn't need a get from the second husband, and she's able to return to the first husband. So your diak of idi v'idi by a get, that falls away, because the focus is on, is she muteris labala rishon or not muteris? But at the same time, there's the same distinction between, in the case of one aid, you need a get, two aidim, you don't need a get. So again, that first brice is Reb Shimon speaking, so you have no raya as to what the Rabbanan would hold. Ravina Omar, Ravina says, I'm another terrace. Le'inyan karbin katani. That the brisa that Reb Shimon says, here they did it like Zodin ish beisha. And here it's like Yeshigas ish beisha. He's talking about the dinner for carbon. That what? Also bezin beira asin. Kizodin ish beisha. If there was only one aid, v'loy masi carbon. You don't have to bring a carbon. This is what we learned in the Mishnah. Why don't you bring a carbon? Because the woman could say, I relied on bezin. I have a right to rely on bezin. And just like when you have a carbon, not every individual has to go and bring their own carbon because they rely on that part, they rely on the bezin agadol. A private individual can also rely on bezin. I rely on the bezin. It was a hirah, right? Remember they had Gemara the other day, hirah or toes. Anyways, I relied on it. I'll be aidim. If they're two aidim, kishigas ish beisha, they're not relying on bezin at all. She's only relying on her own understanding. I'm sorry?
On the evidence of
on the evidence of the two aidim. Therefore, if it turns out, unfortunately, that there was a boo-boo over here, and the husband returns a masi carbon, like every time you do an iser kares bishoyeg, that you bring a carbon. So therefore, that price wasn't talking about iser, it's not talking about gittin, it's talking about simply your carbon, nish carbon. Viva, you say. Or I can go and say, hakamais rabbanan. The attack of the first price is the rabbanan after all. But if it's a rabbanan after all, then we're distinguishing between one aid and two aid. So therefore, Rav Sheisha says, why did Rav only say that Allah is like Rav Shimon? Doesn't everybody agree to Rav Shimon that if there are two aidim, you don't need a get, and the wife can return back to the first husband? Tritzachi, look back at that price, and we're going to add a vav. In the price, it said until now initially. Exactly. Kol aroi shebetoyra, brother and sister, father and daughter, ain't trich lemeni get chutz, except for one case. Eishes ish, shenissus al pi bezin. And therefore we made a deal. Oh, that's the only case of eishes al pi bezin. But if it's an eishes ish al pi eidin, then you don't need a get. Says Ravina, no, add a vav over here. There are two exceptions to the rule. What are the two exceptions? Chutz mi eishes ish, which was nissus based on two eidim, or chenissus al pi bezin, that she got married based on one eid. What's the halacha in both of those cases? In both of those cases, you would need a get, because in fact, the rabbanan hold, she cannot return to the first husband, and disagrees with Reb Shimon, and therefore Rav Sheshes is kasha on Reb Rav, saying he was dozing, sinishka kasha, we fe'enfered the first brisa, and therefore it's like only Reb Shimon holds that if she got married based on two eidim, she doesn't need a get, and she can go back to the first husband. However, the Rabbanu would hold, no, even in that case of two eidim, you need a get, and you cannot go back to the first husband. Now, remember when Reb Sheshes was critical of Rav, and said, Rav must have been dozing off. He asked two kashas. Kasha number one was, my havala lemebid. Man, this onsa, she's an oinus. What? She relied on two aidim. The Torah allows you to rely on two aidim. And then he also asked a kasha from that brisa. So the kasha and the brisa we've addressed in three or four different potential tirutzim or pirushim. We took care of that. But are we back to the first question? How is it fair? How can you go and say that a woman who relied on two aidim, now she should not be allowed to go back to her first husband? May have a little member what she should have done. There were two aidim, and she lied and two aidim. So that's a very stark akasha. So the Gemara is going to ask now from a whole bunch of brises to show that Rav Sheshes is wrong. We don't say this svara of my havalola mebet. It's masav ula. Me, I'm reading, do we say my havalola mebet? What could she have done? I'll show you, but tonight we have a Mishnah. Cause of l'shem malchus she'eno hegenes, l'shem malchus modai, l'shem malchus yovan, l'binyan abayis, l'chur ben abayis, hoye ben mizr v'kos ben marv, ben marv v'kos ben mizr. Teitze mizel u'mizel v'chol adrocha ma'ilu ba. What's the situation over here? The soifer made a big boo-boo. What was the boo-boo? The soifer is supposed to go and write the date based on the malchus at that time. That is not our custom today, but that was the custom at the time of the Gemara, that they would go and say either to one of the Malchi Yisrael, even if David HaMelech passed away, they can go and say this is the 200th year, 500 years to Malchus Beis David, or to a recent Melech David, in other words, from the Malchi Yehuda, or if there's they're in Golus, go and say another Malchus. They would go and say, well, we're now in France, and the King Louis, the 18th or 12th, or whatever it is, the guy Mitte with the cake, without the cake, and his wife, Christ, the Gansamas. Good. What happens if instead, the word Malchus Ein Hagenes is a demeaning term referring to Malchus Roim, means the Romans. Why are we so critical of the Romans and we call them Malchus Ein Hagenes? Says Rashi, based on a Gemara, that the Romans did not have their own alphabet and they didn't have their own language, but rather they took other people's spelling, other people's alphabets, other people's languages, and they distorted it and corrupted it, and they said, oh, this is our language now. So that's why it's called Malchus Ein Hagenes. They say Malchus Madai, or if somebody today meaning the times of the Talmud, someone would say, oh, I'm going to write to the king of Madai, whatever his name was, or they say Malchus Yavam to the Greek king, and they don't live in Madai or in Greece. They live in France, or they live in England. So all of these references to the Romans, to the Madais, to the Yavam, is just wrong. That's not the way you write a get. Or if the person writes the Binyan Abayis, this is the 800th year since the building of the Beis Hamikdash, or the Churban Abayis, it's the 200th year since the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, or Ibn Mizrach, he said they were sitting in Mizrach and he wrote in the Shtar that we're sitting in Ma'ariv, but Ma'ariv because of Mizrach. All of these things make the get possible because it's the wrong date, it's the wrong place, no good. What happens if she receives such a get, and then after that she remarries, and then after that the original Baal or somebody comes on the scene and looks at the get and said, oh no, this get was written incorrectly, we take it back to Bezdin, and Bezdin says, they're right, the get is a possible get. She'll have to leave the first husband and the second husband. That's just a short, convenient way of saying like we had back in our Mishnah. I don't understand. According to Rav Sheshes, it said, what was she supposed to do? After all, she's an innocent young lady. What does she know about getting? And she thought the get was 100% perfect and accurate. She remarried. And now some wise guy comes and says, let's take a look at the get 25 years later. Oh, yeah, there were mistakes in the get. What she should have done? There was a nice distinguished bezin, a fine soifer, fine edim. You know, why is she getting Nebuch punished? Everything mara. She could have read the get. She didn't have to go and sit on her hands and ignore the get. She could have read the get. How are you going to go tell me maybe she was illiterate? After all, we're not assuming that every Beis Yaakov girl knows all Masechta's Gittin Baal Peh. So she didn't know. Says Rashi, she should have showed it to a Chacham. They call the Gittin Chacham. Go and show it to a Chacham to be on the safe side before she remarries. If she wants an ironclad notion that she's allowed to remarry, you know, go and cover all your bases and go and show it to a Chacham.
Yeah, assumes that a Chacham would have caught everything.
Sorry?
It assumes that a Chacham would have caught any mistake.
Exactly, that's what it assumes.
But Masara Kedushin, he has to ask her, are you eligible to get married? And she has to show a get to show.
She doesn't have to show a get, she just has a Magrusha. Okay. Unless somebody raises an issue,
okay,
we're done. So she should have showed it. And since she didn't show
she's
it,
she's negligent, so she's at fault.
Exactly, she's negligent. So you don't see how my Avalim happened. She could have done some due diligence here by this get and read it. I'll bring you another case that we do not say my havel or lemeben. Hakonis is yivam toy. Person went and married his yivam. In other words, it was properly yivam, yivam and yivam. And there was a tzara, v'olchat tzaras of anisis. And the tzara was there, and she remarried somebody else. Because after all, bayis echad ata boyne v'yata boyne shnei batim. So the tzara is now free to go, and she married somebody. And then it turns out, 5 years later, we find out that the original Yibama was an islandess. And since she was an islandess and incapable of having children, she never fell Yibam. So it's as if she's totally transparent, she doesn't exist. And therefore the Tzara had no business marrying out to the Shuk, because she fell the Yibam the Chalitza, and the Chalitza or the Yibam of the islandess was worthless. Oy, what happens now? Since the Tzara remarried, my neighbor, what could she have done? She was going to know that in 5 years from now we're going to discover that she was, that the other one was an islandess. Every time she has to go and send the medical test, everything more, yes, there's something that she could have done. She could have waited. What means that she could have waited? So, see, the Me'iri of the Ritva say that an einus doesn't happen overnight. Einus is something that you start seeing simonim early on. You'll remember we had that the simoni einus included, for instance, she'en lo dadim, and that she didn't have other physical features that a normal woman would have, and that she has a grubber voice, she has like a masculine type of voice. So it's a total surprise, amazing surprise, I never realized. You could have had some idea that perhaps maybe she is an islandist. Is not a common thing. You don't have find an islandist every day of the week. Find islandist, and an islandist with simonim that she's an islandist, that she's not developing like a normal young female would develop. So there would be indications, and therefore the Torah should have waited to see what happens. Are they going to have a child? They're not going to have a child. Let's see. Or give me a period of a year or two. No child. You know, the suspicions that I had all these years that she has such a masculine voice and she's not developing, she's an islandist. So she could have waited, should have waited, and she didn't. Again, it was her negligence. So don't say my have a lament.
But Torah is usually, if the islandist is a tzara, the islandist is also a tzara. And usually tzaros are not too friendly to one another,
yeah,
and they're going to frustrate one another. So the islandess might have concealed her symptoms in order to trap, in order to injure the tzara from her first marriage.
I don't think that we have to suspect the islandess to be so sinister against the tzara that she would enter into a...
promote her entering into an illegal marriage.
And it's illegal for her too, because since she doesn't fall liyibim because she's an islandess, you have now an eishes ach. So she herself, she's doing a big avera.
She's doing a karis. The other one is doing a lav. The tzara is only is over. It's her lav.
So would you think that she's going to take upon herself a karis to go and harm the other one?
No.
Amar Abayi Toshima. I have another right. Kol aroyi she'amru point to sort of say all the aroyi. So we had in our first mission that base that the tzaras are potter. Holchu tzaras v'nisu. What happens? Those tzaras said, okay, my first tzara is the daughter of the Yavam, and therefore it's an erva, and therefore I'm potter. And she went along her own business, and she got married. And now, we find that erva, the daughter of the Yavam, that first Yavama, was an islandess, and therefore she never fell the Yibam. And therefore the tzara should have waited and gotten Yibam or Chalitza. And again, same kasha as before. My name and my habit of the Mebet. It's not her fault. Did she know that the Erev is going to turn out to be an islandist? Again, she could have waited another year to see, will she have a child, not have a child. She knew that there were indications by her voice, by her physical development, and therefore she is ashtikel negligent after all. Let me bring you another right. Kosav soifer get the ish v'shoiv v'leisha. The custom is that the soifer writes out two documents. One for the husband to get, so he should hand it to the wife. And since at the time of the get, the wife says, okay, you gave me the get, but I also want my ksuba. So the husband says, I'll give you the ksuba, but I want you to give me a receipt that you received the ksuba. So the soifer would write out a get for the husband and write out a receipt for the wife. And then they would do an exchange of documents. He would give her the get, give her the cash, the assets of the ksuba, and she would give in turn back the shoiver. And guess what? The soifer made a mistake. V'tov enosin get le'isha v'shoiver le'ish. He mistakenly gave the wrong document to each one. And they in turn mistakenly v'nosin zeh l'zeh v'zeh l'zeh. The husband gave the shoiver to the wife, and the wife gave the get to the husband. And of course, she remarried in the meantime. And now the woman realizes, oy, voy, voy. I never read the documents, foolish me, and I never got the get. My husband still has, my first husband still has the get. And she remarried in the meantime. She relied on the soifer, she relied on the edim, she relied on the bezin. What could she have done? I mean, why is she suffering all of these kenosis? Same territory before. She should have taken out the piece of paper. And what does the piece of paper say? Does it say get at the top, or does it say receipt at the top? For that, you don't even need a chacham. You just need a person with any common sense. You know the difference between a receipt and a writ of divorce. She should have looked at it. Again, a similar question. What happens if the soifer messed up and put in the wrong name for the husband or the wrong name for the wife? or he wrote the wrong city, or his city, or her city, he made a bunch of blunders, or at least one. So then the get is no good. And again, the same kasha again. My name, my havel amebet. That's what Rav Sheisha said on the Amud Aleph. It's not her fault. She's not a soifer. She doesn't write getting. What do you expect? You know, why is she Nebuchadnezzar? Everything's thrown at her. She doesn't have ksuba and take mizel. What's the reason for it? Again, the same thing. She could have read the get. As soon as she would see in the get that it says that her hometown is Kishkin Halash, she would say, that's wrong. I'm from Ketchkemeti. I'm not from Kishkin Halash. She would have recognized it immediately. So why didn't she read the get? It's her own fault. Toshima, another right. Konsum get kereach. Get kereach is a fancy type of get that the Kohanim used to give, and this get involved taking the get. As you know, a get has 12 lines to it. The gematria of the word get, gimel test, 12 lines, as well as because it symbolizes the first toises in Gittin says that in between the five chamisha chumshe Torah, there are four blank lines between each one of the chumashim. We don't count between Bamidbar and Devarim because Devarim is just a chazara, just Mishnah Torah. So between Bereishis and Shemois we have four lines, Shemois and Vayikra four lines, Vayikra and Bamidbar four lines, 3 times 4 is 12 lines. Again, it has to have 12 lines. Ayin betoises. Anyway, here, what did they do? The Kahanim were kind of reason-haim, and very often they get angry at their wives, and they called the Sefer right out of get. I'm giving get this afternoon. So the Sefer said, you're a Kohen. It's going to be much more intricate. They have to go and take each line and make a special fold, and you fold it, and therefore you have not just one simple page, but you have a page with 12 folds on it. And the rule is that every fold has to have a signature on the outside of the fold. So if you have 12 folds, you're going to have 12 signatures. If you only have 6 folds, because you combine 2 lines in one fold, you have that 6 signatures. Get kereach means you don't have enough signatures on all the folds. There were, for instance, 10 folds and only 8 or 9 signatures. No good. If constantly get kereach, if the new husband went and took her, even though she had to get kereach, again, take to mizeh, mizeh. And Nochum afraid to Gemara, what did she do wrong? She saw all of these wonderful folds, she saw all of the Adam signed on it, there are 5 Adam, 6 Adam. You only need normally 2 Adam. She said, wow, Mahadrim and Mahadrim, so many Adam, what's she supposed to do? Again, she should have read the get to go and make sure that it was done properly. And if she doesn't know, show it to a chacham. How many folds, how many signatures, and so on and so forth. And with this, we have deflected all of the kashas that we asked on Rav Sheshes on the Yach. Remember, Rav Sheshes said, what was she supposed to do? And then we said, well, we have all of these cases, what she's supposed to do? And we still throw the books at her. No. In each case, she was a shtickle negligent. And therefore, we deflected all of the kashas of Rav Sheshes that we asked on Rav Sheshes. Now, what's the halacha l'maisa? So we had Rav Huna Marav, so we paskin like Rav Shimon. Rav Sheshes says, doesn't everybody agree to this? And Imar said, no, not everybody agrees to it. What happens now? Rav Papa sovel mebed uvda b'may havel mebed. Rav Papa wanted to go and paskin like Rav Sheshes and say, I'm sure this is the majority opinion that everybody agrees that it's not her fault. She relied on 2 Adam, and therefore if 2 Adam come and say that the husband died, she had every right to remarry. And if after she remarried, the husband comes back, okay. What is Rav Shimon hold in the Mishnah? She can go back to the original husband, said Rav Sheshes, and I'm sure everybody else agrees, because my Havel Lamebet. And says Rav Papa, I also agree, my Havel Lamebet, and allowed her to go back to the original husband. Didn't we bring all of those braces in which we asked kashas on Rav Sheshes that we see that we don't follow this rule of my havalola mebet? In each case, we kept on saying teitzim mizeh mizeh and all is drachem. Why don't we go and say my havalola mebet? Amalei. So he answered him back. Falav sheninu. Were you asleep for the last half an hour? We answered every one of these cases by saying
she should have read it.
She should have read it. She should have waited. She should have done this. She should have done that. Amalei. So he told him, Ashenuya leka belismach. Can you rely on all of these answers? Perhaps these shenuyim are doichik terutzim, and maybe Rav Sheshes is right after all. My havelel mebet, and therefore says the Gemara, u'pasak. What means u'pasak? If you look at the Rashi, u'pasak. It's a short Rashi, 2 lines at the bottom. Once Rav Papa heard that, the nimna v'le ovet ubda. He originally wanted to go and paskin like what he thought would be the majority majority opinion, which was what Rav Sheshe said. It's not only Rav passing like Rav Shimon. Doesn't everybody agree that when you have two Edim, that she can go back to the original husband? But once they went and attacked her papa, he said, you know what? I'm silent. Nimli Ovid Uvdi, he did not want to go and paskin like he originally wanted to paskin, and therefore they did not allow her to go back to the original husband after all. Therefore, the conclusion of the Gemara is that lahalacha, and this is what's brought also in Shulchan Aruch, that there's no difference between one eid or two eidim in all cases. Unfortunately, if the husband fortunately comes back, she unfortunately is teitzim mizeh mizeh, and all these kenosis. The question is that fair? She relied on two eidim. So the mafarshim, even though she relied on two eidim, this is such a major decision, she should still have done due diligence, even with two eidim, to make sure that everything is absolutely on the up and up. Since she didn't, too bad, so sad, and teitzim mizeh mizeh, b'chol adrochem o'eluch. Have a wonderful evening, Rabbi Yisrael. After that, we already learned. So we are now up to date, Baruch Hashem. Have a great evening. Thank you.